Today's gospel can be quite a temptation to somehow look down on the Pharisees and the Jewish people, not only of Jesus' time, but the Jewish people of our own time, as being slaves to the law or followers of a religion of law. We need to keep in mind that Maimonides listed 613 laws within the Torah. We also need to be aware that so many of them have to do with temple practice, and the temple no longer exists, that really only 271 of them could be applicable to the ordinary Jewish person living their Jewish lives at this point. Of those 271 laws in the Torah, 26 are only applicable to those who live in the Holy Land itself. So most Jewish people simply have to be aware of the 245 precepts that govern their life, their identity, and their forms of worship as Jews. That might still seem like quite a bit to chew on, but then do remember the Book of Canon Law contains 1,752 canons, many of which have very lengthy subdivisions. So if the accusation is made about a religion of the law, I'm afraid the buck comes to stop at our desks. It comes to stop at our desks with even more force, as often in our desire, and it is our good desire, to preserve our Catholic faith and to transmit it, we can use the law as an attack on others. Accuse people of violating significant canons of canon law. Violation is not always culpability or blameworthy, because so many canons describe what an effort it is to actually commit a truly serious sin. It takes both culpable ignorance and manifest ill will for there to be a sin present that is fully culpable. Yes, grave actions of sin might be present, but we're talking here about the area of culpability and of blame, the area which Jesus touches in today's gospel. Even our 1,752 canons have a basic principle that the law seeks to excuse and not to accuse, something that we have inherited from our Jewish ancestors. The law to be just, and the law to bind together the common good and advance it, needs to excuse rather than accuse. And it is this direction, the basic site on which our canon law sets itself, that today we hear more and more proclaimed by Pope Francis, not putting the bark of Peter on a new course, but setting the sails to sail gracefully and peacefully across the storm-tossed waters of our modern life and modern challenges. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees twisted the law to excuse themselves from the culpable sin of not looking after their parents. And that is what Jesus focuses on in today's gospel, when the Pharisees accuse his disciples and himself of an infringement of the lesser part of the law. And often in our accusations, as we pick up the culture wars of the surrounding civilization, our immediate point of departure is to accuse rather than to understand and to be forgiving. And being forgiving also means handing individuals the responsibility of putting right, of restoring what they have done wrong, to the degree that they have culpability for the wrong they have done. It's not a carte blanche to do whatever you like. It's an invitation to responsibility, personal responsibility, rather than the tendency each one of us has as individual to duck out of responsibility and constantly remind others in how they are lacking in responsibility. What Jesus says to the Pharisees is also to us a call to conversion, a call to a renewed integrity, where we realize that the wisdom of tradition that has been handed on to us is that society of God's presence, of the kingdom of God, that society of Christian integrity, that society built on the best of traditions which build up the common good and allow us to forgive gracefully those who have sinned seriously but are not fully culpable for the harm that they have done. It is a balancing act. It is a very difficult path to walk. But we have the support of the sacraments. We have the support of God's constant grace. And that constant grace also renews the church from age to age, calling us to consider all our traditions, the foundations on which they are built, that we may purify them of the accretions of human selfishness, of clericalism even, and of the abuse of power that has the tendency to creep in and make the best laws of common good become the worst instruments with which to bludgeon others. We are called constantly to investigate our traditions, to investigate them in the light of grace, in the light of Christ, the supreme revelation, the Word of God, alive in us through the grace of baptism, and in the light of the canon of Scripture itself. Always bearing in mind, the law directs to God. The core meaning of Torah in the Old Testament is to be directed towards God, to hit the target. The prime meaning for the word sin in the Old Testament, and the word sin is chata, is to miss the target, to fall short of God's presence. The law is there to guide us as an arrow let fly straight and true to the heart of God. And we can stretch out our hands to others that they might fly with us straight and true into the loving heart of God. For the purpose of all our canon law, as Canon 1752 itself states, canonical equity is to be observed, and the salvation of souls, which must always be the supreme law in the Church, and is to be kept before one's eyes. The supreme law, the salvation of souls, the guiding of people to fly straight and true to the heart of God. Amen.